We will call the Public Utilities Commission meeting to order May 24th, 8:30 a.m., room 413, State Capitol. I'm Chairman Nelson. I have with me Commissioners Hansen and Feagin. We will go through the agenda in order today. Is there a motion? If I could call order in the meeting room here.
She's in a lot of trouble.
Is there a motion regarding approval of the minutes from the commission meetings held on April 27th and May 10th?
Mr. Chairman, move approval of the April 27th and May 10th minutes.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to consumer reports. Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. The Commission received a total of 54 contacts since the last report was prepared for the May 10th, 2016 Commission meeting. Seven of the contacts involved telecommunication services, 15 of the contacts involved electric service, six contacts related to wireless service, two contacts related to natural gas service, eight contacts related to the Do Not Call Registry, two contacts related to the Dakota Access Pipeline, one contact was related to the Keystone XL Pipeline, one contact was related to wind energy, two contacts related to the Grain Warehouse Division, and 10 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. We still have two open complaints in 2014 open, and 521 of the 538 complaints received in 2016 have been resolved.
You still have those 2014 complaints open, huh?
I do.
Questions from the commission?
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Gregg, we don't usually have Grain Warehouse. What type of questions are they having on Grain Warehouse?
They emailed some questions in on, I think, how contracts, if I remember right, were being handled, and those were forwarded to Mr. Malhoff to respond.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Additional questions? If not, Deb, thank you. The first docket is an administration docket, AA-16-002, in the matter of the clarification of the Commission's ETC certification process. And Ms. Edwards, you can handle this, or Lorena?
Thank you, Commissioner Nelson. This is Lorena Reichert of staff. Staff does not object to the continuation of the waivers from the previous orders for 2016.
Thank you. Mr. Coit, do you want to weigh in on this one?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners and staff. First, I'd like to say thank you for moving this item up to the first part of the agenda and accommodating my schedule this morning. Yeah, Lorena and I and Kristen have had some discussions on this, and it's just really, I think, a matter of just clarifying that the due date for the filing again this year is July 1st, not June 1st. And then, obviously, we agree that we would just like to see the continued waiver of the provisions that you've waived in past years. And unless you have any questions, I guess that's all I would have to put in this morning.
Thanks, Rich. Questions from the commission? If not, is there a motion? I will move in AA-16-002 that the commission continue with the waivers and the deadlines as were established for 2015, including continuing with the filing of the 477 data as was required in 2015. Discussion on the motion. First of all, let me say thank you to staff for raising these questions. Obviously, there's a lot of transition going on with new FCC requirements, but as I've looked through this, it appears to me that for this year anyway, it's going to be most appropriate to maintain the waivers and the deadlines that we had prior. And I would encourage staff to raise the same question again next year, because I think next year we may want to make some changes given how things will progress at the federal level and some other things going on. So, and maybe even want to raise it a little sooner in the spring than next year. Additional discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rich. Brings us to EL 16-016 in the matter of the filing by Northwestern Corporation doing business as Northwestern Energy for approval of tariff revisions to its bill format and sample forms. Northwestern.
Good morning, Commissioners. This is Jeff Decker with Northwestern Energy. Also on the phone are Pam Bonrud with Regulatory and Lori St. Aubin and Tony Flynn with Customer Care. My comments will be applicable to both dockets EL 16016 and NG 16005. The filings provide an update to several of our form letters and some minor changes to the customer bill format. In the filing, we are updating the form letters to reflect the non-sufficient funds charges and connection reconnect letters that were approved in docket EL 14106. In addition, several of the form letters were changed so that one letter could be used for both gas and electric customers. This resulted in the need to update the natural gas tariff as well. Within the natural gas tariff, there were duplicate tariff sheets regarding letters of disconnect that were eliminated. With approval of this filing, the electric and gas form letters will be updated to reflect current charges and processes. We ask for approval of this filing, and we are available for questions.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll go to staff.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Joe Rizak with staff. Staff has reviewed the filing, and Northwestern has responded to all of staff's requested revisions. Staff would recommend approval of the proposed tariff revisions as filed by Northwestern on May 18th with an effective date of June 1st, 2016. Thank you.
Questions from the commission. Commissioner Fegan?
Thank you. First of all, for Northwestern, on Section 6, Sheet 3, on the redlined, you deleted workout reasonable payment plan. Why did you delete that portion of the sentence?
We're reviewing here, so I apologize.
I think it was to just to streamline the wording of the notice, and it is when the customers contact us, that's our primary goal anyway, is to resolve it.
To streamline the process, I don't understand that.
Streamline the wording of the letter is I believe what the intent was.
Okay, it's just, you know, the customer doesn't get to see that, I guess, in the initial letter that you sent them now. So all that is done on the phone, I guess, and they don't get to see that you could possibly work out a reasonable payment plan in the letter.
But that may not be the situation for all instances,
though. Right, because it says may. Okay, I have some more questions. In your insufficient or non-sufficient fund letters, I assume Section 6, Sheet 9 is maybe a Notice 1, and Section 6, Sheet 11 is a Notice 2? Because one of them has 7 days of this letter. One of them has 5 business days. There's just some different things in there. And do customers know of this letter? That means, because I'm not even sure what it means. Does it mean like the date of the letter? Like if it says April 10th and the person gets the letter on April 15th, the disconnect could happen if April 5th was on a Friday? I'm not for sure of this letter, and I probably don't get these type of letters.
That's good. We changed it to five. I believe we changed it, the intent was to change it to 5 business days of this letter for that first one as well.
So your first notice needs to be amended to 5 business days? Because right now I think it's 7.
Right. Correct.
And of this letter, help me understand what that means and if the public knows what that means. I know lawyers know what, the lawyers know what that means, but does the public know what that means?
Within 7 days, service may be discontinued within 7 days or five business days of this letter, if you're reading the...
Right. What does of this letter mean? What is the date of this letter? Does that mean when you receive it or when you guys dated the letter, when you sent the letter? What does of this letter mean?
Date of the letter.
The date of the letter.
Correct.
Okay. And the general public, you think, knows exactly what that means?
I would say yes.
Okay. And then my other question is on your insufficient funds. On your bill, you give an opportunity to call with a credit card or debit card. But on your non-sufficient fund letters, again, Section 6, Sheet 9, and 11, if they want to pay by debit or credit card, which you, I think you did in the revised one that wasn't redlined, you added the option of debit and credit card, but they have to go to the website and you don't give them a phone number to call like you do on the bill. Do you know why you make them go to the website on the non-sufficient fund letters for paying by credit card?
The number's right below as well. The number to contact customer care.
And the website also provides phone numbers that they can make the payment as well.
But your bill has... to pay by credit card and debit is 877-361-4927. So it's a different phone number.
Yes, we utilize a third party to process our credit cards, and that is the Western Union number.
So then on the letter, why aren't we giving them that number if they want to pay by credit card?
The website also provides the number, so the customer can make a payment by credit card. They can either make it through our contact center. They can make it for a fee. They can go to the Western Union website, and then they can also call those numbers. And that our thought was that that is provided on the website.
Okay. I'm just thinking about that 70-year-old farmer that doesn't use the internet, doesn't use the website, why we don't have a phone number next to the credit card payment that is similar to what's on the bill. Those are my questions. The only other question I have, and I think I know the answer, is in some of these letters you have a 1-800 number for the PUC to call, but on your bill you have a 773 number. Do you know why those you use one number on the bill, yet on these letters, you use the 1-800 number?
I think that was an oversight. We should utilize the 800 number.
Because I thought maybe the Public Utilities Commission staff didn't want an 800 number on the bill because people would think maybe they just see an 800 number and they call it all the time, and maybe you guys made a deal with the Public Utilities Commission staff that said, let's put our 773 so they can see that's a peer number. I didn't know.
I am not aware of any discussion surrounding that, but I would agree with you that the 800 number is probably the best number to put on the bill.
Okay.
Unless there was another conversation that I'm not aware of.
Thank you. Those are my questions. I just think there's a lot of confusing things. Thank you.
Additional questions? Hearing none, is there a motion? I will move an EL 16-016 that the Commission approve Northwestern's tariff revisions with an effective date June 1st, 2016. Discussion on the motion.
You know, I just think there's some opportunity to clean this up a little bit, make it more customer friendly. I'm not going to support the motion today, just because I think we need to make sure that it's a little bit more customer friendly. Thank you.
And in making it more customer friendly, basically along the lines of the questions that you've asked today?
Correct.
Additional discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
No.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes no.
Nelson votes aye. Motion fails. Additional motions?
Do you want to just defer it so you give them a chance to...
I would rather have them work with the staff and figure out what phone numbers they want, how they want to work with debit and credit cards, how they want to inform, how they want to make sure customer understands the entire letter on, what was that one question I had? Of the letter, of the date of the letter, or whatever. The date of the letter would make more sense to me, but I don't get these type of letters, so... I'm not as familiar with them. And there's a 7-day and a 5-day, and we didn't amend that, and they thought they were going to amend it. So I just think it needs to be cleaned up a little.
Question for Mr. Decker. There was a request to have this effective June 1st, which if we defer isn't going to happen. Is there any problem with deferring it beyond June 1st?
We will just, you know, we've been charging the old rates for the NSF charges and the Connect Reconnect. I guess we'll continue to do that until we have these form letters approved. So that's really the only issue.
Gotcha. Thank you. So just defer, or do you want a motion?
I just suggest deferring unless okay. You would like a motion.
No, I'm fine with that. We will defer.
That's what happens when, like, you have a real easy docket and there's no other dockets to study.
We will defer EL 16-016. So that brings us to NG 16-005 in the matter of the filing by Northwestern Corporation doing business as Northwestern Energy for approval of tariff revisions to its bill format and sample forms. Northwestern.
Okay, very similar comments here. We're just doing some updating and some cleanup to the tariff, the natural gas tariff, what we had done. Some of the changes we'd made on the electric was better if we were able to use the same letter for both gas and electric, and so that resulted in the need to change the gas tariff as well. In addition, we had the same changes to the bill format. I guess that's, you know, it's basically the same filing as on the electric side.
Staff.
Thank you, Chairman Nissen. This is Joe Rizak with staff. Based on the discussion we've had in the previous docket, staff would like the opportunity to go back and look at these further and would request deferral on this docket as well. Thank you.
Wow, that's decision-making on the fly over there, Mr. Rizak. Good read of the field. I just want to make one comment, particularly on this one. I'll be honest, as I was trying to follow the red line that was submitted to us compared to the actual tariff, I couldn't follow them. I don't think they jive. And I would strongly suggest that we get a red line that is... So I don't know which is accurate, whether it was the red line or whether it was the final tariff that was submitted. And so before we complete this, those two need to jive so that we can follow them. I appreciate having the red line. That's valuable to us, but it needs to be the same as what the final tariff is. Any additional...
Commissioner Nelson, the final tariff is the one that is accurate with the substantial amount of changes in those two or three disconnect letters. It became very challenging to maintain a red line that made sense. We will attempt that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Any additional Commissioner Fegan.
Thank you. I agree. The 518 revised filing was extremely hard for me to track, and I just couldn't understand why there wasn't a red line with that. So thank you.
Let me just ask, Jeff, do you need anything particularly from Commissioner Fegan in writing, or do you have a pretty good gist of what you need to be looking at?
You know, I've got notes for sheet 9 to change 7 business days to 5, change the phone number, and then considering the date of the letter. I guess if there's anything beyond that, if staff or someone could let us know what else we should be reworking.
Okay.
So of this letter is part of it? The quote of this letter. Okay, thank you.
Very good. We will defer NG 16-005 also. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, the only announcement is the next regularly scheduled meeting will be 9:30 a.m. on June 7th right here in room 413 of the State Capitol. Is there a motion?
Move to adjourn.
All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries.